Good morning, and welcome to O-Readers Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry K.B., and I am the moderator for the meeting this morning. Today is Friday, August 2nd, 2019, and this is our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we're at Chapter 4, page 45, and we agnostic. And would somebody please mute? I'm hearing some paper rustling in the background. Thanks so much. Starting with the first paragraph, beginning with lack of power, little p, and we're going to read that one paragraph only, ending in find this power with the big P, yay. We'll be commenting on this one paragraph only. So today's readers are Karen B. for the 12 steps, or possibly Kathleen O., we'll see, and Athena B. for the 12 traditions, and if not, Julie E. B., and the readers of our text are Don B., Jordan L., and Julie B. Our newcomer greeter today is Janice P.M., and Reggie O. will do our announcements. The share ID for yesterday, Thursday, August 1st, 2019, our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 13,228. That's 13228. And the share ID for this morning's Friday, August 2nd, 2019, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 13,230. That's 13230. The OA preemblem. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask if Don, if Karen B. is on the line. If not, then we'll hear from Kathleen O. Kathleen, can you step in, please, and read our 12 traditions? Thank you so much.
Good morning, Sherry. Thank you. This is Kathleen O., recovered in California. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asking to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 12, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathleen O., for stepping in this morning. And now we're here, our 12 traditions from Julie E.B. Julie? Star 1 to unmute, please, Julie E.B.
Hi, this is Julie E.B. This is Julie E.B., gratefully recovering Colorado. Let's see, I just had it here and then I was unmuting. All right, number one, 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is what one ultimate authority. A loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience, our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought to never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
And thank you, Julie B., for your service this morning. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive readers only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And that means please don't use your mute button on your phone, but use star 1 to mute and unmute. We'd appreciate that. Makes it for a more quieter meeting. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 45. We're in the chapter 4, We Agnostics, and we're going to read on page 45 the first paragraph, Only Lack of Power. And we will be reading that one paragraph only. So if Dawn B. would please begin reading. Dawn?
Good morning. This is Dawn B., recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. Lack of power. That was our dilemma. We had to find a power by which we could live, and it had to be a power greater than ourselves, obviously. But where and how were we to find this power? It's a small paragraph, but it packs a punch. And just as was recently pointed out to me that I didn't notice before, when you begin the paragraph, power is not capitalized. Lack of power was our dilemma. And that certainly was my dilemma. Looking for all sources for myself, from my willpower, from diets, from sayings, from positive thinking, from you name it. I tried it all, and it failed me utterly, just as it says in the sentence prior to this paragraph. Our human resources, as marshaled by the will, were not sufficient. They failed utterly. And there we find ourselves. All of us have found ourselves as we've come to this program, out of ideas, and simply with failure, trying all other means to be able to beat the addiction, to beat this disease, which has us all in a chokehold and down for the count. That's our dilemma. We had to find a power by which we could live, because the other option was, as it points out in the Big Book, to go on to a miserable life of suffering and then early death due to compulsive overeating. That is our choice, to go on to that miserable early death or to accept spiritual help, to find spiritual help. And continuing on in the paragraph, and it had to be a power, capital P, it had to be a power, our higher power, greater than ourselves. And that's the emphasis, as the italics indicates there, a power greater than ourselves, obviously. And I'm sure that that's probably the shortest sentence in the big book. But where and how were we to find this power? Where and how were we to find this power? And then it goes on to tell us that that's what this book is all about, to help us to find that power. It's a beautiful place to, even though it may not seem like it at the time, to finally, you know, fall down, collapse in a pile of powerlessness over this disease and over life, and to realize our desperate, desperate need for a power, not just any power, but our higher power, a God much greater than ourselves that can solve our problems. And we are so lucky to be in that place, although, like I say, we may not feel it at the time. But that is the exact place, and just as this paragraph, it starts out by talking about a power with a small p, we can see the entering of a power greater than ourselves with the capital P. And that at that point, when we are collapsed and admitting our powerlessness and our unmanageability, at that point, a power greater than ourselves can come in and give us a life that we can live by and live abundantly and happily and at peace. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Dawn B., for getting us started. So just want to remind everybody, we're in Chapter 4, We Agnostics. We're on page 45, the first paragraph, beginning with lack of power, little p, ending with the big P, that one paragraph only. So who would like to share this morning on this paragraph?
Lisa G.
Kara L.
Okay, I heard Lisa G.
Yes, Rod
Lisa
G.
J.R.
I heard a man's voice. Was that a gentleman? Okay.
It was no age. A little low this morning.
Oh, you are low this morning. Good morning, Mo. Okay,
cold.
And I heard Lisa J.R. Who else did
Kara
I hear?
Kara L. And Roz G.
And I did hear Roz G. So Roz G. and Kara L. And I
Liz
can take
T.
one more. Sorry?
Liz T.
Liz T. Okay. And if I didn't get you on this first round, folks, I'll get you on the next one, okay? So we have Lisa G., Mo H., Lisa J.R., Roz G., Kara L., Liz T. Lisa G., please get us started.
Thank you. This is Lisa G. from Texas, recovering compulsive overeater, recovering crazy person. I hope I make sense. You know, I was brought up to be an individual. I was brought up to take care of myself. I was brought up to take care of everybody else. And there was a lot of uncontrollability in my home growing up. And I ended up finding out that I felt like I had to make everything okay. So now I'm almost 64 years old, and I'm finally figuring out that that doesn't work. Food addict, drug addict, you know, crazy past, and I'm only 9 days abstinent, and it's just wild that I'm starting to see that, and I've been in recovery for 11 years, but this is the first time I'm really starting to see a little tiny bit that I just can't control a thing. I can't control a thing. And just like being submitted to my food plan, being submitted to the things that my sponsors asked me to do, that I've heard other people that I call on the phone every day, what they do to stay abstinent, what they do to stay sane, and what they do to learn about a power greater than themselves. And I thought I've always believed in God, but I'm starting to realize that it's in following these directions of the 12 steps and following the directions of my sponsor, and in just doing those things, that my definition of miracles is starting to change. I always used to think that it was that I had to see somebody who was blind get to see, or, you know, someone healed of a horrible disease. instantaneously or something like that. That's what I always thought a miracle was. But now I'm kind of thinking a miracle is learning what my shit is when I do a 10th step, which is totally weird for me. But anyways, that's all I have. I hope that made sense, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Lisa G. Mo H., you're up, followed by Lisa J.R.
Hey, good morning, Sherry KB. Yes, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Yeah. Good morning. Mo H., recovered compulsive eater in Walnut Creek, California. First time I heard my voice this morning, and I guess I got something going on here. Okay. So we have spent the first three chapters, plus the doctor's opinion, finding out what the problem is. Not finding out, but them telling us what the problem is. And so now it's time to see how that problem. So the problem is, I hear it said, isn't the food. The problem is the buildup of everyday emotions. And how am I going to deal with them? And I've got to go to God, capital G. I like this small, not capital G, well, small P. I got to go to a power greater than myself. Capital P, the power before the power greater than myself was food. I let it be food. But this chapter is not to prove that there is a God, but to let God show himself. So for God to gradually open up to me in little ways, just small little ways, like an outreach call to me that we have this wonderful conversation about how that person is working their program or how I'm working my program, this wonderful connection. Or going to a meeting and, you know, having solutions heard at the meeting. And so I have to be open to that power being in my life every day, to noticing it, to being aware of it. And as the cleaner my abstinence is, the more I feel that power in my life. And when I am not abstinent, there is no connection. It's gone. And so I have to just live each day by starting it with connection with God, my higher power. And I came into the rooms thinking that I got steps 2 and 3. I don't even need to do them. I can just skip over them. And it didn't work for me. It says, I think in the next paragraph, you know, that God is deep down inside each one of us. And that's where I go to find God, in my quiet time, deep down inside myself. And once I've done that connection, my day runs a whole lot smoother. I had a day last week where I didn't take time to do that connection, and I could definitely tell the difference. So I implore each of you to be open to allowing this God to show himself or herself or itself to you. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Mo H. Lisa J.R., you're up, followed by Roz G. Lisa?
Thank you for your service, Sherry, and good morning, everybody. Lisa J.R., recovered tornado from Baltimore, Maryland. So I had a lot of trouble with this. There were little things, the chapter 2 agnostics, but, you know, certain things really confused me when I first came into program. And as I've been working program, clarity has gotten better. Every time I work with a sponsee, it's like going to the optometrist. You know, they turn the wheel of lenses until things look clear. And, you know, they were fuzzy at first, but they're getting clearer and clearer, sharper vision. And if contingent on working this thing every day and doing what it says. So, you know, I came into program having a relationship with my higher power from when I was a very little girl. I knew in my heart that God was who he said he was and my God, and that he was capable of creation. So I knew he was capable of anything. And I started in my 20s to keep a book of remembrances where God showed up for me so I can look back when I'm discouraged and see where God showed up in my life. So, it was tough for me when I came into program. You know, what's going on here? Why can't I diet? You know, when my solution quit working and I needed God, I felt, why aren't you helping me, God? But I, now that I have a little more clarity, I consider this a gift, a great gift, because, you know, there would be no need for faith unless we had to trust, unless we had to trust in the process. And that's part of what has helped me grow my faith, is this area of my life with compulsive overeating. I'm powerless. I'm no different. I was really no different when I came in here than a person that had no faith in God, no belief in God. I wasn't tapping into the God that was there all along, waiting for me to extend my hand and say, help me, I'm powerless. I can't diet. I was terrified. And yet I knew he was with me all along. And, you know, so don't be discouraged if you are a person of faith when you come in here. But you do need to read We Agnostics. We do, we people that had an idea of God, we need to dig into this program, because these are mandates from our higher power to get us back into right alignment with him. And I'm so grateful for the meeting. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Lisa J.R. Roz G., you're up, followed by Kara L. Roz?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, everybody. I'm Roz G., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California, taking a walk, maybe some traffic noise in the background. But I've heard it said by a wise teacher in our group that steps 2 and 10 are the most underutilized steps. And I'm going to just talk about my own experience. I've been in OA since 2002 and struggled with abstinence the entire time, even though I thought that I was abstinent. My concern was losing weight and helping others, pretty much. I was always concerned about how much exercise I was getting and how many calories I was eating so that I could compensate for that through exercise. I wasn't really thinking about a higher power, other-centeredness, like other people-centeredness and other-centeredness, meaning God, what his will is for me. And I thought, well, I have religion. You know, I've been going to church since I was a kid. I was in a devout, toxic, actually, religion for a few years. And I thought, oh, I'm going to church 3 times a week. I've got my kids in a Christian school. I got it. I got God. But I could not remain abstinent. And my life was always in turmoil most of the time. And then it was presented to me. First of all, it was told to me that steps 2 and 10 are the most underutilized steps. You know, and that's tapping into God and asking him for help. And then but the real serious one was, what is God to you? Not what you have been taught. Not what you have been taught. What do you need God to be for you? And what do you believe about God? And I had to get past the fear of being sacrilegious or of God getting mad at me for redefining him. But after I did that and really sat, meditated, and wrote, journaled about what God needed, what I needed, power. I needed to have a relationship with power. I lacked it. And that power came through me, just a gentleness, a warm, soft blanket that understood how I felt and was willing, and I was willing to submit to that. And ever since then, my life has been transformed. And it is transforming. It just doesn't happen that quick. But I see more clearly. I feel lighter. I don't have to do so much. I can be a human being instead of a human doing. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Rosie. Kara L., you're up, followed by Lisa T. Kara?
Good morning, everyone. This is Kara L., a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Thanks to everyone that's doing service on the meeting this morning and bringing it to us, and everybody that's on the line. I've heard some great things already this morning. And power greater than ourselves. And obviously, but where and how where we define this power. And I think that that is the dilemma, right? We're compliant, and we do, and we work, and we try, and we, and I remember doing all that for the 15 years that I was in program and following a full food plan and going to meetings, and I didn't have that power. And I struggled, and I couldn't figure out why my life was unmanageable. You know, and the weight slowly crept back on, and things I hadn't eaten before slowly crept back in, and I was doing everything, and I couldn't find the power. And now I have, and I don't know. You know, this time I worked the steps, and I worked them vigorously, and with my hair on fire, and I think was to a point that I finally saw where self was not going to heal me, that something greater than self had to heal me. And that's the miracle, right? I don't know how to explain it to somebody. All I can do is just say, this is what I did, and I'd be happy to do that with you and be of service the best I can. And every day, every morning, I heard something earlier this week that's really stuck with me on our meeting, about sometimes during the day I'm agnostic because I forget that I do have a power greater than myself. And when those agnostic moments come, to stop and pause and reconnect. Another thing I've heard on this meeting, that this analogy that works so well for me, is my power, my willpower is kind of like a battery pack. It's there and it can accomplish some things, and it's going to run out. At some point I have to plug into the wall, into my higher power, and recharge into an unlimited power that's going to take me through life. I love that analogy. I heard it on this meeting, and I use it a lot because it really helps me understand why sometimes in my own willpower I could get some things done, but it was never enough, and it always failed me. And it wasn't until I could plug into the wall that I could find that higher power that would help guide me through the rest of my life and through my day. And I have to recharge every day, and I have to plug in every day and know that that's there for me. So thank you to everyone that's here participating in my recovery today. Love to you all, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Kara L. And before we hear from Liz T., I just want to remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 45. In the chapter, We Agnostics, we're on paragraph 1, Lack of Power. We're going to read that one paragraph only. So we're going to hear from Liz T., and as soon as Liz T. finishes, I will take some more names. So get ready. Okay, Liz T., you're up next.
Hi, good morning, Sherry. Thank you for your service. My name is Liz T. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Minnesota. And I love this short little paragraph. I can look at it with different eyes than the first or even the second or third time that I read this, today. Lack of power, that was our dilemma. That is my dilemma on a daily basis, is my lack of power, low, small letter P's, like others have pointed out. We defined a power by which we could live, and it had to be a power greater than ourselves, obviously, but where and how are we to find this power, capital P? And it reminds me of, I've been somewhat of a seeker, a spiritual seeker my whole life. I grew up going to church, but never really having that relationship with God, just trying to be a good girl and go through the motions and follow the rules of my, my religion, and still never feeling like I measured up or was good enough. And it hasn't been until I got into the 12-step rooms that I'm learning that my worth is based in me just being a child of God, and it's not about what I do or accomplish or how good I can be or being the best, or these impossible expectations that I would put on myself, and never feeling like I measured up, that can go away. And it's been such a freeing, liberating experience, that I'm just another person among many, another worker among workers. I don't have to be the best. I don't have to be the worst. I can just show up and do my best, and that is good enough for today. The other part from this paragraph that I notice is that it doesn't say lack of intellect or lack of time or lack of self-knowledge is our dilemma, or lack of the perfect food plan, or lack of the perfect husband, or lack of anything outside of myself that I was trying to fix, change, or control. It's lack of power. And so it just helps me remember that when things are feeling chaotic and unmanageable, that it probably means I need to lean into my step two more and crawl up into my higher power's lap and let him or her or it take care of me today and keep working the program, keep doing what I did yesterday that worked, keep doing those things that were taught in the program and through the steps process, and everything will be okay. And this too shall pass. That's another thing, you know, when things are feeling difficult, and even when things are awesome, you know, eventually it passes, and then we're on to the next thing, and we can survive through the storms and the tribulations and the joy. We can get through periods of joy and not have to eat over anything. So what a beautiful gift. And I'll keep seeking right along with you guys here every day, and grateful to be on this call. I'll pass.
Thank you, Liz T. And so now I'll take some more names.
Hey, this is Maureen.
Patty, Maureen, what's the last initial of your last name, please?
Irene B.
Irene
B. Kelly E. B.
Stacy B.
Patty T.
Okay, hold on.
Kelly.
Hold on, everybody. Okay. Okay. I have Maureen, somebody. Irene B. Julie E. B. Keep going, please.
Kelly.
Okay, you're all kind of going in together there.
Did you get Kelly?
I heard Kelly. Kelly.
Out.
Sorry about that, folks. But you guys are kind of crashing into each other. So I did hear Kelly. I think I heard
Margo.
Okay, I think I heard. Did I hear Patty T? Okay.
You heard Stacy B.
I did hear Stacy B. Yes. Okay.
Yes,
okay. So I'm sorry, folks. You know what? We have had 171 people on this line this morning. Okay. So I have a Maureen, mystery last initial, Irene B, Julie E B, Kelly S, Patty T, and Stacy B. And if I can have more room, I will take you in. Okay. All right, Maureen. Which please come on in and give me your last initial, your first name.
Hey, this is Maureen S. Sorry, I couldn't get it through with the voices.
Thank you. Okay, please go ahead. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I'm so grateful to be on this meeting. This paragraph is short, but it is so powerful. For me, I so often felt that way when I was in the food. That I, where was it, and how was I going to find this power? And I was so unaware that I had made myself my higher power with zero awareness of that. For years, I was like my own higher power. And I can see now that that's why I always was like searching and searching and like, where are you, God? And why aren't you helping me? And, you know, why can't I just fix this myself? And I really... held on to my control and my fear of surrendering and of letting go. And I held on to my position as the power position. I had to fix myself. I had to fix everybody else. And it was just really utter fear and lack of surrendering. And I just wouldn't give it up. So it's not surprising to me that I didn't have the sense that my higher power was with me, although now I can see that he was, but I didn't feel it and didn't see him there, because how could I when I wasn't turning to him? especially when I was using food as a god too. So I was either using the power of myself or the power of my drug of choice, which was food. Whenever I needed anything, if I was sad, I would use the food. If I was happy, I would use the food. You know, it didn't even matter. But I would also use myself. And now through the program, I can see what I was doing, and now I'm just surrendering. This paragraph to me is just step two, and there's so much freedom now that I've fired myself as the power that I was using, and gratefully surrendered to the power of my higher power, who I have given all control. My higher power now has the position of that they're supposed to have, and I am just humbled and grateful. And every day, I have to do this multiple times a day because I am very quick to take it back. And even though, you know, in the morning I will surrender and I'll say my prayers, I'll still find myself taking it back. But I'm now more quickly able to see that I've taken it back, and I stop in my tracks. And I'm taking this God hat off, and forgive me, higher power. And you know, you're in control, not me. I am thinking though that the longer I do this, hopefully the less likely I will be to put that hat on. But I'm grateful that I'm not keeping it there. So thank you so much for letting me share. I'll pass.
And thank you, Maureen F. Irene B., you're up, followed by Julie E.B. Irene?
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. I am Irene B., a gratefully recovered bulimic, by the grace of God, recovered today because I rely on His power. But here's my story. My parents divorced when I was six. And when my mom told my dad, oh my gosh, well, who's going to take care of the kids? And he said, Irenita, that's little Irene's family. Irenita will do that. I was 6 years old. So from the age of six, I was assigned to be in charge, to be the boss, to be the caretaker of my sister and brothers. But not all the time, just during the summertime, because during the school year, I went to Catholic boarding schools. So I grew up immersed in Christianity, and I wanted a relationship with God. I wanted God to approve of me. I wanted God to love me, to care about me. And I used to reach out to Him asking to protect me, to make life better, to make things better, because life was cold. I was a hurting child, and I quit asking God for help because I kept asking and it didn't do any good. And then I wanted more than anything to be a good girl, but I sinned. So I knew I didn't deserve God's grace. And I tried to be a good girl, and I couldn't. And food became my solution to the unbearable pain that was inside of me. Too much to go into here to explain why that was. That's just the way it was. And as a child, as a result, I didn't think that God cared about me. And besides, He was a scary God who punished. I for some reason, did not understand grace. I did not understand unconditional love. Life was totally conditional. And I failed time and again because I wanted to be the perfect girl, and I just failed. So I grew away from God. And then as I became bulimic, in my moments of desperation, I turned to God, and now as an adult, I know that God is real, and He is my power and my source. And with that, I'll have to pass. Thank you so much.
And thank you, Irene B. Julie E. B., you're up, followed by Kelly S. Julie? Star one to unmute, please, Julie E.B.
This is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered today in Colorado. Yeah, lack of power, that was my dilemma, all right. And I look up dilemma, situation which a difficult choice has to be made between two or more alternatives, especially equally undesirable ones. So one undesirable part of my dilemma was that living the way I was, life was just happening to me, so much going on in my life. I had been through so much as a child, so much I saw at work. Things with my kids weren't all turning out, quote unquote, the way I thought, and my marriage weren't turning out with my family. Just everywhere I went, I was in a dilemma. I mean, I worked so hard to try and manage and control everything. And, and I just thought if I just managed it right, if I just took care of everything, or then I just give up and just feel the pain and get into the food and try and numb out or get into control and restrict. But either way, it was all pretend. I used to think that if I was scared, and I stayed up all night going through the alternatives of what could and couldn't happen for the next day, that I could actually control the future. We were joking before the hour began. I mean, I used to think I could read people's minds and figure everything out. And if I just came up with the right solution, I mean, I had to care and protect for myself growing up, and the food seemed to care for and protect me for a while, but it was killing me. And one of the things that happened with this lack of power is I would just lurch from thing to thing, and I'd stay in fear, because no matter how long I would mull things over and how I would make mistakes, I would hurt people, and overall I was unpredictable and untrustworthy. And I've been trying to be of service to someone who has a child with them, and watching that child and how that child has to be there for the mom the whole time. There was a year when I was bedbound. My son tied my shoes every day for 4 months. That is a lack of power. I couldn't even tie my own shoes. Now that I have worked these steps, I got a sponsor. I worked these steps. I followed that direction. I put down my binge foods, ingredients, behavior, worked these steps. Now I have a power greater than myself. I still make mistakes, but when things are going on, and I mean, I still have just as much life going on. I still have people in my life who are very sick. I do want to say one more thing, which is yesterday at the airport when I was with my daughter turned to me and said, "Mom, you make me feel safe." And this is someone I've been making living amends to be predictable and trustworthy with for a couple of years now. So thank you to my higher power, and I pass.
Thank you, Julie B. Kelly S., you're up, followed by Patty T. Kelly?
Hey, guys. Thanks, Sherry. You're doing an amazing job moderating. I know it's tough. So this is Kelly S., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic in Oklahoma. This has been a great meeting. It's a great chapter. And I know this has been said before, but I think it bears repeating that this chapter is so important, whether you think you believe in God or not. I never had a working relationship with a higher power or a God, but I thought I believed in God. So in all the years I've been around, I never really paid a whole lot of attention to this book or this chapter. And, and I know I've shared this many times is, you know, for all the decades I've been around these rooms, I never understood that I had a spiritual malady. So I never was really looking for that relationship. I didn't understand I needed a spiritual solution. I figured I just needed a good food plan, a good sponsor, a good meeting, and yeah, God's going to help me, whatever. But so I think it's also interesting, and I just want to point this out as in pointing out my lack of, being humble here, So lack of power, the little P. We talk a lot about the little P and the big P and all that, but I never noticed it had that little P in this paragraph till the reader pointed it out, and I'm like, wait, what? Well, this is why we get to study this stuff over and over, because every time we do, we see and hear new stuff and why we need to share this stuff on the line. And so that's what I've always done my whole life, is look for the little P, you know, whether it was food or drinking or alcohol or people or relationships or even just chaos and busyness. And today, you know, it's like I've learned in this program in the last like 6 years by listening to Vision and being reintroduced to this book that my spiritual malady, I have to have a spiritual solution. And I can only do that by putting down the food 100%, because no matter what I'm putting, whatever I'm using, food, alcohol, people, whatever, I get blocked from that power, that capital P. And so today I see that now. You know, I've been abstinent, black and white abstinent, for 4.5 years. But I can tell you, like, I'm getting ready to go on a trip with my family. My family can become my little P, right? And my emotions and the chaos and craziness. And it's like, if I don't keep the food down and connect with that capital P power, I'm going to get back into that spiritual malady. I'm going to live in those bedevilments. And then as we hear, you know, that human emotion builds up. And then what does that do? That doesn't make me eat. Human emotion blocks me from God. My craziness blocks me from God. Those bedevilments block me from God. Then I'm blocked. Then I eat. So I got to stick to that power, stay plugged in. And I love that analogy. I'm going to wrap up with this real quick. I love the analogy someone shared about plugging in, because I was just telling somebody this morning on a call that one of the things I heard that I love is that, you know, my kids, anytime my phone is messed up or my computer, my kids all the time are like, Mom, did you restart it? Mom, did you restart it? And I'm shocked every time how that works, how that always fixes it. So I have to plug in. I love that analogy. And I have to restart my brain and my power. And I do that by spending time in quiet prayer and meditation with God and connecting and working these steps with you guys. And with that, I pass. Thanks, Sherry.
Yes. Okay. So we have about 4 more minutes. Patty, you take 2 minutes. Stacy, you take 2, and we'll take us out. All right. Let's go, Patty T.
Hi. Thank you so much, Sherry. This is Patty T from Southern California, recovered today by the grace of God. And, you know, I had to personalize this paragraph for myself. So I had to say lack of power was that was my dilemma. I had to find a power by which I could live, and it had to be a power greater than myself. And myself had to be 2 words, myself, because the self, the ego, is that thing that had allowed me to survive all my life through the alcoholic background, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and my own addiction. The self, the ego, had been that thing that allowed me to react in situations that I thought were allowing me to get through the stuff when life happened to me. And then it says, obviously, period, obviously. But, you know, in myself, that's not obvious. So by the time I got into this program and surrendered and said to that power greater than myself, okay, I'll give it to you. I don't know what to do anymore. Then I began to find the charge. I began to get the power with the capital P. I began to find the connection. And the connection is not the same thing that my other self used to tell me. Myself told me, my will told me, that isolation and keeping my life small was the answer to stay protected and safe. But this power greater than myself says that if I acknowledge my pain, admit it, turn it over, and go help someone else, that's how I recover. Thanks for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you, Patty T. And Stacy, we really only have a minute, so if you could take a minute, Stacy B., that would be awesome.
Okay.
Stacy.
Okay, great. When I first came to the program in 2012, I made my sponsor and measuring, my first sponsor and measuring my food, my higher power. I didn't really realize that until after I came into Vision. And I thought I had the illusion that, oh, yeah, this is controlling my weight. And as long as my weight was in check, I was, you know, I was all right. But it didn't, because after hearing all of you, and we all come from the source. We all come from the Creator. When I listen to your stories, it just adds to my own personal God. And I just want to thank the group for that so much, and your shares, and how you're helping me making me put God back in God's position, so I could go ahead and use him. And it doesn't matter how many tools you use, or you could use the tools of the program and do the program perfectly. Thank you. But with that, I'm going to pass. But if without God being at the helm, you're going to fail. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Stacey B. And everybody was awesome today. Thank you so much. Thank you, Team Friday. Kathleen O., Julie B., Don B., Jordan L., Julie B. again, Janice P.M., and Reggie O. And we're going to stay on tune afterwards, and we'll close with a serenity prayer. And please hang on, newcomers, and talk to Janice P.M. She's our newcomer greeter. And then Reggie O. will give announcements. And so let's give everybody a big hand. Thank you so much for this awesome meeting. And before we close, we'll have Jordan L. read A Vision for You, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only and keep you until then. Jordan?
Good morning, Sherry. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you